My name is Ulrich Wiesner, and I accidentally ran into a topic I want to talk about today, and that is voting machines that have been recently used in the Bundestag elections here in Germany. And I want to report on some issues that are related to that machines. The machines are from a Dutch vendor called NEDAP, and I'm going to talk a bit about how these machines work from a functional point of view. I will say some brief things about technology used. I will also report on the history of voting machines in Germany. I'm going to talk about the prerequisites for democratic elections and how they are implemented here in Germany. The machines used here in Germany, we know very little about from German sources, but they've also been purchased by the Irish government, and there's a very detailed report by an Irish government organization on technical details and how these machines work, and that gives us a much better picture on the issues we face with the machines used here in Germany. To say something on terminology, this talk is on e-voting, so that is when you cast your vote on a local machine in a public election office with, and the machine is not connected to internet or anything. You only use public equipment, and in contrast you have i-voting, where you vote over the internet and where you vote probably from a public place, but also perhaps from a private place, and you use public or private equipment. And i-voting is not topic of this talk. I only speak about e-voting as conducted here in Germany. The NEDAP voting computers that are used here in Germany, they unfold, they're highly portable, they come in a suitcase and they unfold to a polling booth like this. Okay. Basically, on the user panel, you have a replica ballot paper, a Stimmzettel, where the voter can select his vote, and you have a display where you control what you have voted. There's a control unit where an election clerk can control that you can cast your vote and that you can only cast one vote. And at the rear side of the machine, there's a printer which prints the election results, and there's also a memory card, a ballot module, ballot boxes, it's a urne, Wahlurne, a memory module called ballot module, which records the votes. Now, before the election takes place in a central election office, the machines will be configured with a device called programming reading unit, which is connected to a special hardened PC. And in the election office, they will configure the device in a way so that all the candidates and the parties you can select are stored in the ballot modules. And the ballot modules are put into the machines, and then the machines are sent to the election offices. During the election, a polling clerk will activate the machine for each voter, and then you would select your candidate and you would select your party and you press confirm, and you can also select that you want to cast an invalid vote, and if you have selected, then you cast the vote by pressing return and the vote is gone. And at the end of the poll, there will be a backup copy made of the memory module, of the ballot module, which remains in the machine. And the election results are printed and documented, and the ballot module itself is removed from the machine, and it's sealed, and it's sent to a central counting office. And at the central counting office, these ballot modules are again inserted into this programming reading unit, and the votes are loaded onto the PC in an Access database, and then the results are counted and published. Technology used, the voting machine and the program reading unit use the same technology. They are based on Motorola 68K processors. They have two EPROMs, which carries the software. These EPROMs are socketed so that they can be easily exchanged for new software versions, and the controlling software is written in C. The ballot module is using two flash EPROMs. They have a proprietary connector, which makes it difficult to put them just into the back of any computer. But the votes itself are stored encrypted but redundant on the machines. I think there's two copies of each vote on each of the two EPROMs. And the integrated election software, which is running on the PC in the central office, is running on a hardened Windows PC. It's using an Microsoft Access database, and the software itself is FAT client, so I don't know Visual Basic or C++ or what they have used. The history of voting machines in Germany is very thin. Until the last couple of years, that basically there have been few mechanical devices being used in some areas. There are regulations about voting machines since the 60s. In 1975, a law called Bundeswahlgeräteverordnung was released, and from then voting machines, not counting machines. And the Physikalisch-Technische Bundesanstalt is responsible for the testing and certification. Since 1999, they are explicitly talking about microprocessor-controlled devices, and that was basically related to NEDAP getting into the German market. The first city using NEDAP voting machines in Germany was the city of Cologne in the European elections in 1999. Since then, the NEDAP has been quite successful in selling these machines. In the 2002 Bundestag elections, there were already 1+ million voters using these machines. And in 2005, 2 million voters had to use these machines, but there are no very specific numbers. So it could be 2.5 million or 1.8 million. What is the certification and procurement process, and why are the machines only used in a few cities? It's basically the vendor applying for a certification of the machines, and on their cost, the machines are checked by the Physikalisch-Technische Bundesanstalt. And I think that's the history of the process, coming from counting machines and being more focused on electrical or mechanical devices than on software. So you would probably think that the Bundesamt for Software Security would be the appropriate agency to do these tests, but they are not involved at all. After the test, the Minister of Interior approves the certification, and then the per se decision is with the municipalities. So if a city decides to use these machines or not, it's really up to them. And that's also the reason why there's no good statistics about how many voters have been using these machines in the recent elections, because it's not reported upwards where they have been used. When a device is certified, then again, before each election, the Minister of Interior approves the usage in this specific election. However, the machines in the certification process, there's only one specimen tested by the PTB, and all other machines, the ones you're actually using in the election office, they are there's just the vendor guaranteeing that the machine is similar to the one that has been tested. Why are the machines used at all? The typical reasons is that the municipalities find it harder and harder to find volunteers as collection clerks. The vendors promise significant cost benefits, and they also say that the machines are highly reliable and the user acceptance is as well. And actually, if you read the reports from the cities are excited. The result is there at 6 o'clock. And they have happy customers. The drivers to use the machine is more local elections than the federal elections, because the local voting systems are much more complex. You have vote splitting, you have vote accumulation, and the counting effort is significantly higher than in the Bundestag elections. Why is that an issue? You use cash machines every day, and why should there be an issue with the easy-to-use voting machine? Well, when you use a cash machine, you can count the money you receive immediately, and you also get a statement afterwards where you can check that the money you received is the amount that you that was debited to your account. In a voting machine, you can in this voting machine, you can neither check that your vote is actually recorded, nor after the vote is you have an audit trail where you can see like an account statement that your vote is there. It's a voting machine is really like a credit card without statements. At least in the way they're used here in Germany. I would like to look in more detail into how you actually vote, because that gives us a better understanding of the individual steps and where there's security issues. Well, vote generation, I call, or traditionally, you mark your party or your candidate on the ballot paper. In e-voting, you select the button with your candidate, and then you cast your vote. That means you release the control over the vote by dropping it into the ballot box. Or in e-voting, you submit your selection, and the vote is gone. You lose control over it. Then comes vote recording, and traditional, that's trivial. That's just the vote, your ballot paper remains in the ballot box. And in e-voting, it's recording on a storage device, on the ballot module. And then afterwards you have vote counting, and traditionally that's just counting the paper, and in e-voting that's the return of the counted values. Now, in a paper-based election, the first step, vote generation, is something that the voter can control, where the voter is sure what he has elected. And all the other steps are public. So you can go there and you can see that everybody drops his ballot paper into the ballot box, and you can stay in the election office the entire day to be sure that nobody fiddles around with it. And you can be there, you can be present in the voting office during the counting. So all this is verifiable. And you have to make some extra effort to do the same thing in an electronic voting process. So what are the prerequisites for democratic elections? In most countries, elections are said to be general. That means everybody can vote, not just selected groups. They are free. That means you can vote without pressure. And vote has to be secret, so nobody knows what you have voted. That's basically implementing the free elections. The vote has to be equal, so everybody has the same chance, and the vote has to be democratic, which means the votes have to be honestly counted. And all these things have to be implemented in electronic elections as well. Now, normally this is implemented or enforced by the public control of the election process and the feasibility of audits, so that's Wahlprüfung, after the election. And that means an electronic voting process has to be under public control, and and audits have to be feasible. Otherwise, the things above are at risk. And this is common sense. So the OSCE member states, they have signed the Copenhagen Resolution in 1990, where they ensure that the votes are honestly casted, and that they all allow the presence of observers, both foreign and nationals. In Germany, actually, everybody can be in an election office all day, and everybody means you don't have to be the right to vote. You don't need to be a citizen. You don't have to have a passport. You just can be there and look what happens. And how is that implemented in the German legal framework? What is relevant for elections? We have the constitution all above, and there's an Article 38, which is on national elections, on Bundestagswahlen, and an Article 41, which is on election audits. And there's also a Bundeswahlordnung, regulations on elections, which details to almost hilarious detail how public control is implemented. For example, when the ballot box is open, then the election clerk has to speak loud out what he's doing, that he's opened the box, and then he has to read every single paper he's counting. So things that should be things are made very, very transparent in paper-based voting. Now, for machine-based elections, there's a certain Bundeswahlgeräteverordnung, and there's more details, construction guidelines for voting machines. And basically this is what the PTB, the Physikalische Technische Bundesanstalt, tests against. There's very little tests whether the stuff above is implemented, and this is where public control got left out. Keep this very brief. In the electoral law, in the Bundeswahlgesetz of Germany, there's several paragraphs which implement public control. There's paragraph 10, which says that all the election committee's work is public, that you can be present in any committee meeting. 31 says that the entire voting process, from the opening of the office at 8 o'clock, and including the vote counting, is public. And then you have the regulations on voting machines. And interesting are these construction guidelines, which basically define that the PTB is doing the audit, that the source code needs to be made available to the PTB, that state-of-art technology has to be used, that security has to be appropriate for critical applications, and that undetected hardware and software manipulations have to be prevented. There's quite some stuff about physical and technical stability of the machines, and this seems to be where PTB's core competency is. And I would be quite confident that all these requirements here are met, but the public control gets lost somewhere. Now, the certification process of these machines in Germany is totally intransparent. I tried to get the the PTB report from the Minister of Interior, but I didn't. They said that they had to protect the interest of the vendor. So everything we know about these machines are basically from an Irish report that has been done last year. The Republic of Ireland purchased NEDAP devices in 2003, I believe. And after a public debate, they implemented, or the government implemented, a commission on the secrecy, accuracy, and testing of the chosen electronic voting system. And chosen means that they bought it already. The report was presented in late 2004. And the commission's conclusion is that they are not in a position to recommend with the required degree of confidence the use of the chosen system, and that this is not based on the findings that the system will not work, but that they are not confident that it will work. I'm just going to some statements that this commission has been made, because I don't have access to the machines, but they had. These findings of the commission are quite interesting. Regarding the feasibility of an audit, basically a Wahlprüfung, they say the NEDAP system does not provide a full audit trail. There's no post facto method of validating that the votes stored in the data cartridge are the same as those entered in the keyboard by the voters. And we all know that. The software does what it wants, so just displaying the voter what he has voted doesn't mean that this is what you store on the memory card. In general, there have been concepts presented that audit trails are feasible with voting machines, and several concepts have been suggested. One is a paper trail, where just behind a glass window a receipt is printed of what you have elected, and then this printed paper remains in the box and can be counted afterwards. Then there have been printer scanner concepts, where basically the vote casting and the vote counting happens in two separate machines. You use a machine to print a machine readable ballot paper. You put that into a ballot box just in traditional voting, and then you have a second device, a scanner, which reads all these votes, and this is obviously auditable. And other concepts suggest that you use a card writer reader, basically, where you store your vote on a chip card, and then you take that card to a second machine, which confirms what you have selected, and then the card remains in the box, and is a receipt providing physical evidence of what has been voted. Now, how do we know which software is installed in the machine? At startup, the NEDAP device displays or prints a software version and a checksum for both the EPROMs, and that obviously does not provide ensure the integrity of the installed software, because the software or a manipulated software could print anything the programmer wants.
What kind of checksum is there?
That I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
So if you use MD5 or whatever method, the MD5 algorithm can't be part of the software. It needs to be independent. The statement of the Irish report is that someone with access to NEDAP source code could alter the program while also assuring that returned expected checksums are displayed correctly. And an exchange of the ROM chips, including fraudulent presentation of the checksums, cannot be avoided by software and by means of sealing only. Now, they go into more detail regarding the security provided by the sealing. In practice, it took a technician about 40 seconds to open the machine from the back. We observed that the controlling program chips are actually socketed for ease of access.
Therefore, there's little to prevent removal and substitution of the program. We estimate that 2 minutes of unauthorized access would be sufficient to switch programs. And further, the seals on the voting machine peel back equally easily. 4 Phillips screws had to be removed. And the seals are actually, even in Germany, they are vendor seals, so they're not official seals by the government. So there's also no control over where these seals are distributed. And the ballot modules, the memory cards, the votes are stored unencryptedly. Standard components are used. Specifications of these EPROMs are available on the internet. And basically the main protection against tampering are the proprietary connectors of the ballot modules. No, nothing. The integrated election system, that's the software running on that PC, which is used for configuration and the post-voting counting, is not subject of the certification process in Germany at all. And, well, in Ireland they say it's running on hardened PCs. I didn't find anything on there's any differences in Germany. But basically, the Irish report says that multiple versions of this software can be installed in the same PC, older versions can be installed over newer ones, and the usage of a hardened PC at all is not enforced, so you can take the software, install it on any PC, and use it and connect the reading and programming unit to that machine. And actually, the Irish report provides a step-by-step guideline how to overcome the security measures of the hardened PC. So the report's conclusions on the security of the entire system is that the voting system is 1980s technology. In the 80s, the threats of this kind of technology were not as well understood as today. Furthermore, many defensive countermeasures have been perfected in the meantime, which are not deployed here. Security, such as it is, relies largely on the long discredited concept of security through obscurity. It is a well-established principle of the world of electronic and computer security that this is inadequate. Now, checklist. This is basically our functional requirements for the machine. So where are we? I'm sure the software does what it should do if it's installed. So it's counting the votes as it should, and I'm also sure that PTB has successfully tested the physical stability of the system. Software and data security is at best yellow. From the results of the Irish report. Now, regarding feasibility of audit and public control, that is not implemented at all. So, the conclusion is basically the voter's control over your personal vote, it's impossible to determine if you have voted at all. And the public control of the entire process, it's impossible to determine if the installed software is the certified one. And the funny thing is, the Minister of Interior totally relies on the vendor here. Not even them check that the software installed is the one they have bought. It's impossible to know if the software counts correctly. It's impossible to determine if the votes have been stored as cast and that they haven't been manipulated afterwards. It's not possible to have an audit afterwards. It's not possible to know if the afterwards to check if the installed software was the certified one. The technical requirements by the Bundeswahlgeräteverordnung are unlikely to be met because the security measures in place are obviously not state of the art. And it's also not possible to detect software manipulations as required by the Bundeswahlgeräteverordnung. So what is needed? Obviously, a public control over the voting process and the feasibility of audit needs to be implemented for any voting machines used. The certification process and of the voting machines and the test results need to be transparent and published. This is, in the moment, totally intransparent, and that's unacceptable. The installed software needs to be authenticated on every single machine before elections in a public process. And the current absence of an audit trail and the intransparent certification process are unacceptable for a democracy. So basically, the only one who can be sure that the devices are working is the Minister of Interior. And that's a very comfortable situation that probably the one or the other minister in other states is very jealous on. I need your support. I filed a complaint to the Bundestag, Wahlbeschwerde, challenging the results of the elections where these computers have been used. And if the parliament rejects the complaint, the next step would be to go to the Constitutional Court. And I need 100 supporting signatures in case of rejection by Bundestag. So if you are a voter in Germany and you consider to support me, please write me an email, and I will contact you when I need your help. Thank you.
Ich antworte mal auf Deutsch, weil das betrifft ja hauptsächlich dann die deutsche Wahl. Wenn das so weit kommt, dass diese 100 Stimmen notwendig sind, vielleicht einfach in die Medien, heiße News-Ticker, /dort irgendwie, dass die Leute das auch mitkriegen. Weil sonst gerät es vielleicht in Vergessenheit. Also ist wahrscheinlich die effektivere Methode.
The situation in the Netherlands should be quite similar, but there would probably be a lot more voting machines from NADAP installed.
Yeah, I don't know anything about the distribution of the machines in the Netherlands, but I've read somewhere, yes, they are used in the Netherlands.
I've used them for 12 years, at least.
Yeah. As I understand, there's certain flavors of the installed software for certain countries, but the hardware architecture and the security concepts in place are certainly the same in Ireland and in Germany and in the Netherlands, yes.
That means that it would be useful to have the same action also in other countries where they have the machines.
Of course, yeah. Yeah.
I'm a bit thinking about responsibilities. You told in your first part that municipal authorities are those who decide whether to use these machines. But I think they are responsible to their Landeswahlleiter, which are in turn responsible to the Bundeswahlleiter. So there is a kind of chain of responsibility for the decision whether these machines are used. And wouldn't it be a way to complain to these authorities? Why did you allow this to use these machines? Or probably you have thought about this and studied the legalese.
The Landeswahlleiter or the Bundeswahlleiter has no control over the decision if these machines are used by the city. The cities make the decisions, and the Wahlleiter, the returning officers, they are not entitled to give orders there. There's no pre-election possibility to challenge the usage of the machine, so you can't go to a court before the election has been taken place. And if you remember the issues that have been discussed about the Dresden election, all these decisions by the Constitutional Court pre the election have been rejected purely for formal reasons that the first institution who checks the validity is the Bundestag, and after the elections.
And there is no such thing as a general clause. They are responsible to ensure that the institutions below them do the right things to ensure that the vote is okay.
The Minister of Interior is the one who allows the usage of this machine, and he's the one who's in the end responsible for making these machines available in elections.
Well, I have another question regarding a danger that is not spoken of until now. In Germany, it's common that elections take place in public buildings, for example, in schools. That is in my area. I live in Hamburg. And there I have to elect in a school, in a normal school of middle school, 7th, 8th class, and so on. And it's now another way of camera surveillance installed in schools. This is rising, we see on the Congress. So on the election, they have their own surveillance infrastructure built in. And now I have another question to the database. Is there anywhere a way to review the tests of the PDB to see what the database is? Because I see another rector of attack. If somebody gets in access to the content of the database and in the same moment to the access of the content of the surveillance databases anywhere in the buildings, he could see the time managing. Somebody leaves the building, somebody enters the building, and in this time the vote takes place. So maybe a person binding can take place. I don't know. It's common in databases to use timestamps. Is it done here? And how is this danger?
At the NEDAP devices, there's no timestamp of the vote. And the vote is stored at a random position on the ballot module. I would not be too concerned about the confidentiality of the election, because if you tamper with the software, you try to change the result, and if you control the result, you don't care what people try to vote. And if you have control over the result of the election, you don't need to you don't care about which button is pressed.
Thank you. I understand from your talk that the Irish report recommends against the use of the machines. Has that had any influence on the usage of those machines in Ireland? Is the usage of the machines in Ireland discontinued?
As far as I know, the machines have not been used in Ireland so far.
I have a couple of remarks. One is, you said that the software was programmed in C, and it has been shown several times that C is an absolutely inadequate language to do critical programming. There are programming languages far better suited for that. There is, for example, a dialect of ADA that is used by Praxis High Integrity Systems in England. That is a dialect of the ADA language, which can, by complete formal methods, completely eliminate runtime errors like division by zero and some things like that, and would probably be a more adequate choice in this case. The other is, the only way to really make electronic voting verifiable and accountable is to use what is called a voter-verified paper ballot. That is, as opposed to a voter-verifiable paper ballot. Voter-verified paper ballot means, for every vote that is cast, a paper ballot is printed, and the voter is required to verify that what is on the paper ballot is actually what he voted on the electronic machine, and the voter must be able to verify that this slip of paper is actually put into a standard ballot box, so that there is a paper ballot for every vote cast that is completely transparent and public and can be verified and recounted.
Yeah, that's certainly one of the suggested options for making audits feasible.
But even so, if you use voting machines that use voter-verified paper ballots, there still would need to be someone in the end to challenge the electronic result to enforce a paper recount, usually. If you always do a paper recount for the official results, then you don't need electronic voting at all.
Yeah, but that's not our problem as a voter.
Yes. That is the point, yes.
I'm sure if you spend enough effort, you can make it verifiable, you can make it confidential enough. But if you do all this, you raise the level of money that you have to put into it. So there's no advantage to e-voting over the traditional way. So the crucial question is why? Just why do it that way?
I had one more little point to add. Even if someone challenges the electronic result and a recount is done, if the first few recounts always support the electronic results, it will be done fewer and fewer times.
I'd like to respond to the remark concerning the language C chosen to do the programming. I think the requirements and the complexity of the problem that is implemented here is definitely low enough to do it in any higher language you choose, even C. I don't see really a problem here by choosing this language.
Recently came across a paper by David Chaum. I don't think it's necessary to explain here who David Chaum is, but he worked not only on electronic cash but on e-voting systems as well. And in his paper, I think it appeared last year, he worked on an electronic way of verified audit trail on e-voting. And in this paper, is an interesting statement by him. He refers in it to the traditional paper ballot as the gold standard of voting systems. So my question essentially is, if we have already a gold standard for voting systems, why would one ever think about replacing it? Do you have any idea?
Well, the drivers...
You may be the wrong person to ask, but I think that's the... one has to talk about motivations here.
I believe that the drivers are obviously the costs. I'm not pleading for voting systems here. I'm pleading against the issues which are currently on the plate here in Germany.
I would say that, in fact, there is some rather good motivation, and perhaps one can make an analogy there. I mean, there has been some reason to switch from gold to, say, electronic cash. So there are advantages, I would say. If you just get the results some minutes after voting finished, well, this is something... You might say it is not really necessary, but after all, I mean, placing persons there that have to stupidly count votes is perhaps something that does not make that much sense. And concerning this problem of voter verifiable versus verification, well, one would, of course, need additional measures like, say, random recounts. But I don't think that e-voting is something that cannot or should not be done under all circumstances, but it has to be implemented properly. And this is the problem, I think. It is a problem of implementation, not so much of concept.
I tend to agree that you probably can implement fair e-voting systems, but I tend to disagree that it is relevant when the result is available or what costs are involved with counting. The things that have to be implemented by election whether you do it in a paper-based way or whether you choose e-voting, is that the elections are fair and that the elections are free and that the results are accurate. And this is where the priorities have to be. And everything else, like costs, that is minor issues.
Hi. I come from Vienna, and I'm a member there in a voting commission since years, and we had the last vote 3 months ago. And first of all, I'm against everything which is called e-voting or voting machines, because they're roughly non-democratic. I say it like, I want to point this out. We have a couple of problems. First of all, they want voting machines to bring out a very fast result to the public, because votes tend to be more and more entertainment show for one night. And the media asks us for fast results. So even in the voting commission, we do a pre-count, which we do within 30 minutes, and then we send out per telephone the results to the Minister of Interior or to the Viennese community, and then we start the counting procedure again to make it accurate, only because that someone can give us a result within 30 minutes after the election. Okay, we do the work, we sit around more about 2 hours, 3 hours after the election and count every ballot and count every vote, because we have to do that. We sit around discussing in the commission if this vote is accurate or not and what is the intention of the voter. And this can be done quite, let's say, of course it's politically influenced. There are all the parties sitting around and we try to find out if the vote is not so clear, what is the intention of the voter. I don't want to bring in some examples because they're quite funny, but anyhow, it's not the right place here. But we see a problem that in the new, let's say, new democracy, where we have a couple of possibilities to give up the vote, not only for the party, but also for a person which is on the list, and the list may be quite huge, and it may be quite complicated. There may be, in the last election, we had three lists for different kinds of boards, or let's say parliaments, where the people maybe voted or not, and so there was a couple of times and conflict that the right person was on the wrong ballot and things like this. It's complicated. But what I want to point out, on electronic vote, we have the problem that we have electronic divine, that most of the people could not handle this. There are studies about that, and if we see which people go for the vote, especially in Vienna, old people, we will see problems in that. And I see another problem in that we have quite strict democratic rules, so it's not allowed that two persons can go into the booth together, and this conflict will erase, especially on e-voting, where it's not sure if the vote is done anonymously.
You said the German report was not available to the public to protect NEDAP, and all the results were made upon the Irish report. Are there any reactions from the PTB or the German Ministry of Interior upon this Irish report?
Well, there's no evidence that they changed their mind on any of their decisions, and there have been quite extensive communication between PTB and the Irish Commission, where the PTB defends its testing results. But I see no evidence that this really, the Irish results are really influencing what's happening here in Germany.
Simple question. Are there any other allowed machines in Germany other than a NEDAP?
This is the only microprocessor control device which is allowed. There's two other machines which are allowed, but they are, I believe,
mechanical or electromechanical devices, like slot machines. And So basically, the exponential growth of the distribution of NetApp here in Germany, that implies that probably with the next election we might have 4 million of voters using NetApp or more. So it's not far in the future that by manipulating the NetApp software you can control the result of the Bundestag elections. Yeah.
I like to respond to your claims. I think that electronic voting machines can very well be democratic machines, because what is counting of votes? Counting of votes is a stupid task. It's a very stupid task. Why do you think so? It's just counting. But
you have a piece of paper as we had in the last vote, and it's messed up with shit, and there's a cross with shit on the paper. So how do you count this ballot? Do you count the ballot or not? That why? Because the cross was made in one party. Why do you don't count the ballot? Why? And the rules in Austria, this was a valid ballot. It was a valid ballot. Really? No. You have to count this ballot because that's the rule of the election laws. No. No, that's not definitely stupid. It's okay. It's also, let's say, someone is striking out all parties and leaves one party left. This is in the law it's written. There's an example in the law. Then this vote counts for the party which is not striked out. That's clear. And another one is if you cross the complete ballot. And in the middle part, which is we have seven parties, in the middle part is the cross comes in the middle. It's depending how the cross is made. So this is one thing. But another thing is on written, we have to in Austria we have to write in the name of your favorite candidate. You can write it in. So what is messed up if we have three candidates in one district, father, son, and daughter, and we only have the surname? How do you count that? Yes, but maybe it could solve that special problem.
That's actually one of the benefits that NetApp claims is that the number of invalid votes goes down from about 2% to almost zero, and you have a button to cast an invalid vote there, so you don't have to cast a valid vote. And I tend to agree that a defined user interface helps there, but I doubt it's really compensating the disadvantages.
As far as I understood the NetApp function principle, the vote has to be armed, made ready from the booth via this remote control unit. So that's basically one point which would cause false votes if somebody gets distracted because of missing user interface design that says this vote won't be counted in big red flashing letters the size of an A4 paper or something. Most people wouldn't even notice that their vote would not be counted because they don't know the process going through all the menus, through all the single steps. You get what I mean?
Yeah, I believe there's...
So what I'm trying to say, or what my point is that the misses in all the system are just slipping to a different point.
Yeah. But I believe the user interface is designed in a way that there is evidence whether your selection has been successful.
Okay.
I think we have to come to an end. Is that right?
Five minutes.
5 minutes we have, so probably two more questions.
Well, one question from my side. What about interface design? Like, I know a lady, for example, she's 70 years old. She doesn't even use her microwave oven because it has too many buttons, too many dials, too many letters there. So how do you get a person like that to e-vote?
Basically, the ballot paper, which is printed on the user interface, that has to match the design of the official paper ballot paper. And so I don't think that usability is really the key issue here.
Okay. Well, I want to state another opinion from my experience as a programmer. It's just impossible to program away the stupidity of some users. And even with a clear voting interface, it's possible to make stupid things. In my opinion, a sheet of paper where several circles to cross one is a very clear interface. It's so clear, there's no way to make it much more clearer, even on a monitor. And what happens, an example, if the user presses in a voting machine, it takes the whole hand and presses three buttons at once. The voting machine has to state, this is an invalid vote, and has to ask, what do you want? The voting machine cannot interpret the vote as, we used the one, this is a microsecond earlier pressed before the other one. There has to be some control to make the vote clear. It's not part of paper or from electronics. It's part of the human stupidity. And someone have to learn, someone have to teach the people how to use voting except from the voting material.
Yeah, I don't believe that this is really the key issue, because most people will be clever enough, and we're talking too much about exotic cases than about the majority of the voters. And the question really is the voting machine good enough and accurate enough and usable enough? There always will be a number of dropouts.
Okay.
With whatever concept you use.
If the number of dropouts is 0.1% or less, I would say forget the voting machines. I have the experience about money machines in the banks, where you have about 3% of the people could not handle this. And it's fairly not democratic if you have a voting machine which excludes even only 0.5% of the people not handling this. This is not democratic. If you want to have a democracy, you have to take care that everyone is able to give his vote. And it don't care that the majority or only some persons, I would say even if there's one person who, you know, we take much money and much care to bring in handicapped people to the votes, to bring in blind people to the votes, and only for the money's sake we give this up.
Well, I think we have to stop here. Time is over. So thanks for attending this talk, and goodbye.